All of you know that we keep the holy days. I hope you understand that, right? Now, maybe many of us might think at different times, different events, or maybe different reasons. But in the New Testament, you can trace, and all of us have done, Passover and when it is. We can trace it on the wave sheaf offering. Now, maybe debate whether it's this day or that day or some other day makes no difference. You still get in that in the New Testament, right? And we also know about the 7 days of unleavened bread. It's listed quite abundantly there in the New Testament, correct?
Yes.
We also know that we can find it relatively easy in what's called Pentecost or Shavuot, right?
Yes.
That's pretty easy for you. Now, we might have a debate when we should do it, when we should not do it. It's not a bit business. But I'm just going to point here across. Feast of Trumpets we can find and easy to find and easy to spot. And now, the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, it's listed. And we know there's 7 days Feast of Tabernacles, right?
Yes.
Well, what about the eighth day? Can you find it in the New Testament? Now, we can find everything else, but where do you find the eighth day? Now, I'm going to present something to you today for you to think about. There's an awful lot of thoughts, an awful lot of opinions, an awful lot of ways of looking at things. But at this particular point in time, I want to show you, and if you can, just hear me out. Don't have to necessarily agree. Hear me out so you can possibly see where the eighth day is listed in the New Testament. Because, see, how can you or I picture all the other days and find them everywhere else, but how come the eighth day is not seen to be easily to be found? It's hard to spot it. It's hard to look for it. We have speculations in the book of Revelations, where it's probably referring to, as we would assume, okay, that it's a day in which the eternal creator of heaven and earth comes down and, in a sense, wipes away all tears and all sorrow.
Right.
We can kind of put that in there, but it doesn't really call it the eighth day. We have an idea because it's after the 7,000-year reign, or actually, it's after the 1,000-year reign, and then it's all done, judgment is done. And there are two schools of thought about what's called the judgment day. There are an awful lot who believe that the eighth day is called the judgment day, or the great white throne judgment. And there's another school of thought that the eighth day is not talking about judgment. However, it does have a judgment in it. And because if you go to the book of Revelations, it talks about where those who are not going to be there. And it's a statement of a judgment. All these people will not be there. And amongst them, of course, are, you know, like cowards. The first thing I'll list, I think, is cowards. And a few other things of, you know, any kind of sexual morality. And
liars.
Diverse, whatever kind of thing. You know, all the evils that he says. We got that part down. So we can kind of look at it from that point of view. But we're going to go now to the book of John. And I'm going to begin with the 7th chapter, because this was very important in my mind, the way this chapter begins, and the certain things that Jesus has said, and why he said it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? We'll follow along here. We're not going to read everything here. We're going to spot some of the obvious ones. Already at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I already talked a little bit about this, but it was real brief, and I wanted to be able to spend a little more time because I think this is very, very important. John chapter 7. Now, I don't have to go back to chapter 6 to figure out what the situation was. It just said, now after these things, Jesus walked to Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because of the Jews, that is the leadership, sought to kill him. So that's the first thing that the seventh chapter of John talks about is they wanted to kill him. Now, when did they want to kill him? Now we're going to find out when. What they had in mind. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So we got that pretty well figured out. That's the fall time, the fall feast. Trumpets is already passed. Now we're at and the Day of Atonement is already passed. That's easy to find, by the way, in the New Testament too, the Day of Atonement. And now we go on to what's called the Feast of Tabernacles. His brothers therefore said to him, depart hence and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that thou do. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to know be known openly. If you do these things, you show yourself to the world. And of course, Jesus says, no, that's not my time. You go ahead and go. It's not my time. You hear, you talk about his time. You know, it's not my time. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, remember the very first David, they were out to kill him. It's not my time to be killed yet. So therefore, I'm not going to go. So therefore, he did not attend the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. He did not attend the second day or the third day, but he did attend the fourth day. Let's go down to verse 14. Now in the midst or in the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. Now he starts talking. Now in the middle of the entire week of the Feast of Tabernacles, we will get on what day that was. As we go along here, we find out that right in the middle, now he shows himself up. And now he starts teaching there at the temple. That's the first time we know he's there. Now, some people have assumption that he just kind of snuck in secretly and no one knew he was there. Well, I'm sorry, it's really hard to hide this guy. Really hard to hide him. I mean, he was very well known. Especially when he showed up on the midst of the week and there are people there at the temple and he began to teach them. Now, put this in perspective of what do you think he's going to do when the kingdom of God is laid on this earth? Maybe in the middle of this 1,000 years, he's going to start teaching something we don't know. Maybe more impressive than we can imagine. Because God is going to do something. We don't know what it is. But this midst of the thing is really fascinating when we start thinking about the middle of it. And the Jews, that is leadership, marveled, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned? The guy's an idiot. How does he understand letters? I went to this before. Now, what do you think letters would be referring to?
The writings of the scroll.
Down to the letter. I mean, down to the very core meaning of everything and every jot and every tittle that is written. Now, Jesus didn't come back and say something. No, he didn't say, my letters is not mine. You know, he's turned, he says, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he will know the doctrine wherein I be of God, or I speak of myself. So the first thing he says is, in the middle of this week, says something. And what was the statement was? If you know the will of him who sent me, you will know my doctrine. What is the doctrine of the Father? That's an open question, people. What is the doctrine of the Father?
The Torah.
The what?
The Torah.
The soil?
The Torah.
The Torah, okay.
To know him.
To know him, to know his will. What is the will of the Father? We're going to hope we can learn a little bit today. I don't think I can do it today. We have to do it 2 weeks in a row. So we're going to have to go into this thing next week also. Well, the key thing is knowing the will of the Father. Yes?
Would that be to love the Lord thy God?
Okay. Okay, to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your might. Those are all good words, good statements. But I still have to ask this question. Is it the will of the Father that you love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being?
Yes.
Why?
Because we're to be obedient to him, and we will be obedient when we love him. And we're to obey the laws
okay.
he's given us.
He's worthy.
Yes, yes.
Because we will become like him.
We're getting, now we're getting somewhere. We're going to become just like him. Yes?
Because he's worthy.
He's worthy, okay. Remember, he's speaking now on the middle of the week, and he's saying certain things. I want you to keep in mind, what is the will of the Father? Because that's really, really important to find out what the will of the Father is. Because he says, if you know the will of him who sent me, you will know my doctrine is true. All right. Now we know that he taught an awful lot of stuff, right? Or awful lot. Just stuff. Taught an awful lot of things. And he did teach out of the Torah and the prophets and the writings. We know that. But he also taught other things, didn't he? He introduced things that you can't find that easy. Remember the apostles were dumbfounded when they finally explained to them what the book of Psalms is all about? Oh, what's this? All new teaching. Well, yeah, it was new teaching because it wasn't revealed to them until the time of the Messiah. When the Messiah turned and revealed what it was all about, and they say, oh, I'm getting a bigger picture now. All of us are getting a bigger, bigger picture of what the will of the Father is. Because when we start thinking about or looking at what he taught, then we begin to see the will of the Father is very significant. It's not just obedience. If he's one obedience, he can make a rock obedient. Isn't that not true?
Yes.
That's all. If that's all he wants is obedience, make a bunch of robots. And make him do everything he wants him to do. Okay? But when you love someone, what is your desire?
To please them.
To please them, to find out what their will is. And when you find out what their will is, what you're going to do?
Do it.
You're going to what?
Do it.
You're going to do it, right? Because you love them. So, yes, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. You got to figure out, okay, where does this lead me? If I find out and know about him and go into, find out, did I find out what his will is? Then I say, I want to fulfill it because I love you. So it's a different motivation. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, with that in mind, go to verse 37. Chapter 7, verse 37. This is introduction here. Now, in the last day, that great day of the feast, that means talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. If he believes on me, as Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. That's a big statement, isn't it? Now, the last day, the great day, the end of the feast, the very final conclusion of the feast, lust, what happened? What did he tell them to do? If you do what? You thirst. What are you thirsting for?
His righteousness.
His righteousness, okay.
His love, just to know him.
It's a big factor. So everything you think about. You thirst for the will of the Father. That's what you're hungry. That's what you're thirsting for. Yes.
His Spirit.
His what?
His Spirit.
Right, His Spirit. But He can't give His Spirit unless we understand His will. He cannot give His Spirit if we don't understand His will, right?
Right.
So the key thing is, He says, if you know the will of Him who sent me, you will know my doctrine is true. Daniel.
A couple of things. One, God's pretty consistent. His will seems to be always wanting to dwell with people, having us dwell with Him. But it's thirsting the water that's described in Ezekiel, that particular type of water that comes to the temple and actually cleans out the Dead Sea and replenishes that particular type of water that makes the dead alive.
Makes the dead alive. All right. Yeah. Cool statement. I want to move on now to the very last verse of chapter 7. They go through this rigmarole. I'm not talking about that. We're going to go here. And every man went into his own house, or his own home. Why? Because the Feast of Tabernacles now is finished. But then the next day shows up. Did you notice the next day?
No.
Now, this particular area on this event last for chapter 8, 9, and 10. It's one of the longest doctrinal teachings that the Messiah ever presented. And He presents it on a very interesting day. Now, let's, for the sake of clarification, this is what we call the eighth day. So now we have a key. That in the New Testament, yes, it does talk about the eighth day. Now, it's fascinating here. It talks more about the eighth day in the book of John than any of the other holy days. Did you notice that? It's a lot. Now, as we read this thing, we try to understand this, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of John as you are there. All right? So you have a kind of picture in your mind that you are there and you're with Jesus. Now, Jesus went unto Mount of Olives because He didn't want to go back to Galilee. I mean, why? Feast of Tabernacles, why didn't He go back to Galilee? Remember He said He didn't want to go down to Jewry because why? They wanted to kill Him. Right? Remember that? So He wasn't going to go down there. He was going to stay in Galilee. Except He did show up on the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, Feast of Tabernacles was finished. And early, chapter 2, and early in the morning, the day portion of the eighth day, He came again to the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down, and what did He do?
He taught.
Now, many of you start studying every one of the places where the Messiah starts sitting down and talking. Over 70% or 80% of them are direct association with a feast day. Or one that's going to occur real quick, right around the corner. All right? You can spot that with the woman at the well. What day was that? Shavuot. He says, you know, look, you think it's four more months before the feast? Look now. It's ready to pick now. 4 months from the Feast of Tabernacles puts you at Shavuot. So we know it's there. All right. We know, of course, about Passover. We know about the Day of Atonement. So I want to talk about this day. This is very, very important. I don't want to necessarily knock anybody else's belief down. But at the same time, I want you to look at it from a different point of view, different perspective. Down verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, the Torah, commands us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, tempting him, that he might have, that they might have to excuse the ground, as though he had excuse rather. Excuse me, but Jesus stooped down, and with his fingers wrote on the ground, as though he had not heard them. So they continued asking him. He lifted himself up. He didn't stay down, you know. He lifted himself up. I don't know how tall this guy was, but I don't think he was a short guy. I think Jesus is an average, pretty tall guy, very dynamic. I mean, what part of him that's not dynamic? He wasn't a handsome guy, but he was dynamic, powerful. I mean, people came to his place to hear what he had to say. They wanted to know him. He knew letters. They didn't even get educated. How did this guy know letters? How do you know the Torah? How do you know the prophets? How do you know the writings if he was uneducated? He was a dropout. That he didn't even drop in to be a dropout. All right? Let's go on. And all they said was, verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote. Verse 9, very important, listen. Very important to listen to this point. And they which heard, being convicted by their own conscience, went one by one, being at the eldest unto the least, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, I know that you have heard and have explained and been told to you, okay, there's an error here. What was wrong here was they didn't bring in the man. Right? So they had a lousy judgment. Well, stop this for a moment. John was there. We're talking about John, the apostle. Now, he wrote this many years later, and he wrote this because this was very vital, very, very important. There is no record of what Jesus wrote. If John, who was more than likely present on the eighth day, seemed to have known what Jesus wrote, he would have recorded it or at least made note of it. But he didn't. What did John make note of? What he saw. We'll get to the judgment here in a minute. On this eighth day, he saw. What did he say? He recorded that they were convicted by what they heard. What did they hear? They didn't read what's on the ground. John didn't even bother to tell us what's on the ground. What did they hear? What did Jesus say?
That he, without sin, cast the first stone.
Cast the first stone. We don't know how many there were there. We don't know how many guys there were. They might have been two, three, four. We don't know. Makes no difference. But it's what they heard. Now, on the eighth day, this is pretty penetrating. Because, see, if you're Jewish, you have a picture of what they was meant back in those days. Now, you know, the Jewish world doesn't know what it means. And we in the Christian world are trying to figure out what it means. Yes?
Doesn't eight mean new beginning?
As well as something else. We'll get there in a minute. Yes, you're correct. That's but it's a different meaning. I grant you it does have a new meaning. That's what it means. But we'll get to that in a minute. That's fine, Pearl. Go ahead and ask the question. You got it, because I'm going to talk about that later. All right. But before something new begins, something has to end. Right? You can't have a beginning, a new beginning, unless something comes to a completion and never to be returned. All right. When the boy is circumcised on the eighth day, what ends? The foreskin ends. It cannot be returned. Right? And we know scripturally mean the foreskins of your heart. Once the foreskins of your heart has been removed, it cannot be returned. Right? Okay, you got a picture there? Now, on the eighth day of the holy days, it cannot return as it once was. We have a new heaven, a new earth. Everything is new. Nothing returns back to as it once was. Correct? So we're looking at this eighth day. We're looking at this thing. And now I ask you, don't you look at this one. Because what they heard was convicting them, not what Jesus wrote on the ground. Because we have to look at Apostle John and was sitting there, probably very close, probably saw what wrote down the ground, knew it was there, but he was more impressed or taken by, quote, amazed, seeing something different. Yes, Jeff.
Is his conviction here that he is without sin cast first stone a... basically a condemnation that they didn't take the trash out on Yom Kippurim?
That's a good one. Oh, I like that one. That's a good one. Oh, yes. In a sense, that's true.
So basically,
I understand.
They still carried it with them all the way through the Feast of Tabernacles.
All the way through. No, they carried something else with them at Feast of Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that if I can reach there today. Mm-hmm. They carried something else there, which the book of John 7th chapter tells you what they took. You remember? We opened up chapter on first verse.
Malice.
They wanted to kill him.
Yes, they wanted to kill him. They took to the Feast of Tabernacles, and the order was, we'll get there, this man is to be killed during the Feast of Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. That's why he said, it is not my time yet. I'll show up in the middle of it. That was what they were going to do. It's very obvious when you start reading this thing and you start spotting it and realize the why of all the time, why did he not go to the Feast of Tabernacles in the book of John 7th chapter? They were going to kill him. And he says, I ain't going. Question. Remember his brothers didn't believe either? Nick, you wonder whether or not they're part of the cahoots. Get him to go. Get him to go. Get him to go. Go, 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 go. Everybody wants to hear you. Right, every man wants to hear you. Every old man, all by himself, wants to keep silent if he wants to be heard. And he says, well, no, I'm not going to go. So, you know, his brothers, of course, they didn't believe then, right? I'm saying they weren't cahoots, but they probably were being baited to make sure that Jesus is there at the feast now. Make sure he's there. And of course, they're all ready to go, and he's not. He didn't get his supplies together. He didn't get his offering together. He didn't get all the things you're supposed to get to take the Feast of Tabernacles on the first day, let alone any other time, right? He didn't do it. And they're saying, come on, come on. And he said, nope, I ain't going. Well, I'm using English here, but he probably used proper Hebrew words and proper grammar. But you know what I'm saying? Now, did we notice that before? It's something you learn to spot. Now, in the very beginning, we see something here. Now, we're on the eighth day, and I want to continue on. Verse 10 of chapter 8, I'm going to end this quickly at 4:30, 2:30. Anyway, best I can. And Jesus lifted himself up and saw no one but the woman. He said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned you?" What was her answer?
"No, Lord."
Now remember, she was standing. She wasn't lying on the ground. She wasn't thrown down there like a bag of crap. She was standing. And what did he say? "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, where does the story go from here? This is important. From here on to the end of the 10th chapter is the judgment that the Messiah made. And it is continually condemned, 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 and condemned. You see the picture here? What the issue here in the eighth day was, who are you to think you can do just what you did and say, "I do not condemn you"? What? Now, listen to what they said. Jesus made the judgment about sin of the woman. What was his judgment?
Don't condemn you. Go and sin no more.
When you say, you are then therefore now not guilty. How did she get away with it? Jeff.
She didn't get away with it. She basically was brought back from the dead with his judgment, because she was condemned to death.
She's condemned to death. You get the picture? Mm-hmm. All right, now we have his judgment required justice. Yep. Now, as we continue on this story, the only way she would get justice is if her death was finalized. Right? And we know whose death finalized it, don't we?
His.
All right. We know whose death finalized. So justice did come and was sentenced upon her. And the judgment was, you are not going to die. You didn't see it here yet. He will. There is yet one more that's going to come. He talks about this as we go into the book of 10th chapter. I am the light, and I'm going to be gone. When the light's out, it's out. All right. When Jesus spoke, then Jesus got up and spoke one more now to the group. You remember he's still teaching, remember? All the people there at the temple, still teaching. And he said now, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness or dark into Hoshech. Right? Mm-hmm. Not live in, walk in, participate in, be a part of Hoshech. Darkness. But shall have the light of life. Remember what he said the day before? What did he say the day before? If any of you thirst,
all right.
Now, we know that refers to the Spirit of the living God being implanted within someone, and that out of that person will come forth the Spirit of life. Now, he calls this something different. He shall, if do this, it's the having the light of life. Now, what is the difference between light of life and the Spirit of life? Jeff?
It seems like it's an allusion to Isaiah 53.
Which is?
Well, there's a prophecy in there that the that he would see the light of life after death.
After death, right.
Basically resurrection.
Basically resurrection. But see, they were going to kill him, weren't they? Remember? He didn't show up at Feast Tabernacles because they were going to kill him. The foreskin had not been removed from the heart. So we're seeing here on the eighth day something very major taking place. And what they're talking about. Now, after Jesus made the judgment about the sin of the woman, he now speaks again to those he is teaching. The judgment or the justice was no condemnation. Right? This is my judgment. My judgment is this. You are not damned. That's what he said. In our modern English words. Now, next day he comes up and he says, we continue on here. Now, what is the weightier matters of the Torah?
Judgment, mercy.
You speak what?
Justice,
mercy, and
humility.
Faith. Okay, it's very important that we keep that part in mind because that's the word of the Messiah who said that's what the Torah is all about. Now, did she receive mercy?
Yes.
Oh, yes, she did. All right? Now, did she receive, what was the last one?
Just the day.
Faith. Did she receive faith?
Yes.
How? In what way? In what manner?
He said to her, go and sin no more. And I think in a way, when he said to her, go and sin no more, you don't ask something of someone that you don't think they can do. You don't ask a quadriplegic to run the Boston Marathon. So when he said to her, go and sin no more, he knew that if she wanted to walk that way, that she could do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't even have said that to her.
Okay. Yes?
He just saved her life.
Okay, he saved your life. Okay. What is faith? Things that are what?
Hope.
I'm sorry, what?
The substance of
things that are not seen.
Yeah.
Hope is the thing that's seen. That's what it boils down to, right? What did she have? She only had one thing that she could see. What is the one thing that she had hope for? It is this. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in Hoseth.
Darkness.
Go and sin no more. Where am I going to go? I am the light of the world. I will do it for you, in a sense. If you walk with me and you live with me, you participate with me. Now, that takes what on her part?
Choice.
She has to have faith. She has to believe what he says. And, of course, this evidence is really strong, right? Any good number. Wow, you know, I gave him mercy. Wow. And probably her was that point on is, you guys, I'm not going to sin anymore. That's what I feel real strong about this woman. Because he turned to the group. Because there was a judgment being made. He made a judgment. And instead of hearing the accusation against his judgment, the first thing he said to the group was, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in Hoseth. He shall have light of life. That's different, isn't it? So she got justice. She got mercy. And she got hope. She got faith. Now she becomes the one that believes. All right? Yes.
You know, Richard...
this is on the eighth day now. We'll get to... Yes.
For the whole of that week, the whole background to this was there were 10 huge menorahs in the court of the women. And they were huge. The priest needed, this is by the first century, the priest okay. needed to go up ladders
okay.
to change the wick and to fill the huge bowls with oil. So
right.
at nighttime,
right.
Jerusalem, with the Temple Mount, was lit up like a beacon
right.
and you could see it in the darkness for 50 miles
right,
more
right.
away.
I just one thing to say to you. This was not where it was took place. It's at the treasury.
Yes, but the temple
treasury was a different location.
People,
yes, I understand that. Right,
the people would have had a living symbol of what that meant. I mean, what he was talking about.
I understand
about
that, but what I'm saying is that this is daytime now. They wouldn't have those lights.
The whole week, they would have been learning about it. The whole week, in the court of the women, those menorahs were huge.
Right. I'm not arguing with you on that. I just want to make a clarification that this was at the treasury location where money is at.
Yeah.
Why is it where the money is at? Who do you think, how do you think the priest got a hold of money to pay Judas? They had to be in the treasury to pull the money out of the treasury to give it to Judas. So there was Jesus right there in the midst of the treasury. Yes?
And this is a controversial concept. And not everybody holds to it because of Catholicism. But within Catholicism, they had always said Jesus taught for 3 years or 3.5 years.
Oh, that's...
But the other concept is that he only taught for a year.
Right.
If that concept is true, and this is all condensed into a time frame, he let her go, and he told his people this, and then he dies 6 months later. This whole thing is concentrated in intensity.
Right, I understand. That's a different controversy, which I'm not going to deal with today.
I know.
I'm sorry.
It was six months later.
It was actually the feast of, soon thereafter.
I believe 3.5 years or 1 year, either way, it was the next one.
I don't want to go there today because that's not what I'm...
I know, but what
I'm going to run out of time here.
Intensity.
I'm going to run out of time here.
Richard, could I ask a question? How do you know it was the treasury?
It says later on.
It says in verse 20.
Verse 20.
Verse 20?
Yeah. Verse 20.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, I only read what's there. I don't go outside the sources. Outside the sources mean, it could be, could not be. I'm looking at what John said.
That's very interesting.
I trust the word of John more than I trust the word of anybody else. I'm very prejudiced, biased, and bigoted. And what else? Anyway...
actually, it's quite significant that he says it's in the treasury, because right before he says, neither me you know nor the Father or me. Because you have to remember that the priesthood at the time had their hand in the till. The treasury saying these words.
They had a hand in the till to kill the Messiah.
Yeah.
Could pay somebody to turn him in.
Yeah.
All right, just like it before. But we won't go there. I wanted to tell you, it's very fascinating of what takes place here. And these things are not just coincidences. All right, you understand what I'm saying? Okay, I got to finish on. I'm going to have to call a break here. Faith is for her to live a life of no condemnation by following the light. That's what faith is all about. If you know that you are no longer going to be condemned, what is that going to do for you? Tremendous amount of hope, right? Oh, now what do I do? It wasn't just a casual thing like, excuse me. A lot of Christian world says, go ahead, don't worry about sinning. Sin not an issue. You're saved, once saved, always saved. God never looks at your sins, the past, present, or future. You're saved, once saved, always saved. This is not what the Word of God said, not what the Messiah said. If you continue walking in my light, if you don't, the light's out. The whole book of Revelations, what did he say to one of the churches? I'm going to take that light out. Replace it with another one. You're out. And once you're out, you're out.
And he also said that if you overcome,
talking
about a certain blessing or whatever.
Oh, blessings will come, yes. If you don't overcome, you won't get the blessings. Your light still may be there in some of the churches, but it doesn't mean you're going to survive in the abundance. Now, the eighth day tells us about how Jesus will judge. Is that right? What was his judgment? This tells you now why he did it. Now we have to go in because he was challenged with this question. Who are you? All right, who are you? The leadership, verse 13, the leadership therefore said unto him, thou bear record of yourself, thy record is a lie. They just got through seeing what took place. And guess what their evidence is? What is their evidence? The Torah. Right? The Torah is their piece of evidence. This is what the Word of God says. You are a liar. That's what they just got to say to him, right? Now, isn't that fascinating? Did you ever thought about the mere fact that he, quote, overruled the law? Well, you know, he can, as long as he knows and he knew he will pay for the justice that needs to be done that she may have life and life eternal. Now, is that a doctrine of the Father? Is that the will of the Father? Is that what the Father really wants? The answer is yes. That's the will of the Father. If you know the will of my Father, then you will know whether I am speaking the truth. Now, they back then should have known. You know why? Because the Torah tells them.
Justice, mercy, and humility.
Faith. It's a very interesting statement. And they couldn't refute him on that statement. They couldn't challenge him on that statement because that is the lion's share of the entire Torah. That's why you have sacrifices. That's why they're there. They're for a reason. The reason there is to... justice will be accomplished. The justice is going to take the life of an animal to justify your conduct. Oh, all right. Means all I have to do is kill a bunch of animals and I'm okay? No. Because, see, if you understand the entire offerings required, one of the very last offerings that you must offer is the offering of... And if that shalom offering... it's not a true shalom offering. Everything's null and void. You will pay for the price. It means your life. Now, that's fascinating, isn't it? So sometimes we look at the book of Leviticus. It tells us how mercy is done, how justice is done, how mercy comes about, and how this wonderful thing called faith comes in. It does take an action on our part, doesn't it? You must believe. Is he a liar? See, the eighth day, you're challenging him. You're saying he's a liar. I'm not going to get very far today. Let's see, how far can I get? Okay, I'm gonna finish verse 14. And Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, this is a fascinating statement he's saying now. Listen carefully with him. Though I bear record of myself. He did not deny, did he? Yes, I do bear record of myself. What was the record of himself? What was the record?
He's
testifying
he is the light of the world.
And? They were there to kill him, remember?
Right.
Okay. I bear record of myself. My life, I'm going to, he didn't say this word, but in a sense, in the future we know, 6 months later, I am going to be dead for the life of that woman. I will be my own witness. I'm sorry. I'll be my own witness. And my witness is true. You don't need the witness of the Father. If you know the will of my Father, guess what? You will know the doctrine that I'm saying is true. So we don't need the will or the testament or the witness of the Father. How many of you heard the witness of the Father? Is he talking to you? He's talking to nobody, right? So basically, our witness we have is the Messiah and the Messiah only. Do you believe him? That's the bottom line, right? He made a judgment. And this is, they're condemning him for a judgment. This is the condemnation, right? You're a liar. You don't do it according to the Torah. You don't do it according to the laws of Moses. You didn't stone her according to the commandments of God. What did you do? Let her off. Yes.
I guess in modern parlance, they should have recognized his talking points as being the same talking points of the Lord.
Especially at this particular day.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be a new beginning. Right? My judgment, he's going to begin his judgment on the eighth day. And his judgment is, you will not die. I will testify. You will live. I will testify. If you believe me, you'll have the light of life. Does that make sense? What I'm saying so far? So the eighth day is just not just a new beginning. Just not, it is, but it's a bigger. I mean, book of John here, from 7th chapter to the 10th chapter, centers around just one major day. That's the day after the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, I'm going to just a minute here. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I came or whither I go. Why? Ye judge after the flesh, to judge, I judge no man, in a sense, after the flesh. Now, how is that difference? Wait a minute. Don't you remember the beginning of the story? They judged the woman after the law of Moses, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus turned around and said, that is judgment of the flesh. What? What do you mean by that?
Judgment based on action.
Judgment based upon action, not based upon anything else. They only cared about one thing. And that is justice. And justice is of the flesh. Right? And mercy has to require flesh. In this case, it's the flesh of the Messiah. Right? So it was done. He did not judge according to the flesh. He judged according to what? A. And yet, if I judge, this is a very powerful statement, which he did, got through, he just finished judging, didn't he? Remember the woman? He judged her. Don't try to figure out why. Don't try to put excuses here or there. Don't try to figure out where's the guy. Dead issue. Because John wasn't trying to tell us that. He's telling us, did you see what took place? I'm going to show you what took place. He saw, and this is amazing. And he said, yet if I judge, my judgment is true. Why? I'm not alone. But I and the Father have sent me. What does he mean by that? Remember he said, I don't need any other witness. I don't need my Father's as a witness. I am efficient witness. He made a judgment. What do you think the Father did? He got, I have to go along with him that one. Oh, I have to go. Jesus, you blew it. Right?
No.
No, I didn't blow it because why? That's the will of the Father. The will of the Father is for her to have life and life for eternity. Why? Because not to fulfill his pleasure only, because his pleasure cannot be fulfilled if we are not fulfilled. He is in misery if we are not fulfilled in pleasure, the same kind he has. So, in a nutshell, we're not. This is not finished. This thing, because I can't finish it today. Here we see that the leadership considered the judgment that Jesus made against the woman was not of God, was Jesus' own judgment, and did not judge the woman according to the Torah. Because they brought the Torah there, right? This is what the law says. This is the Torah. This is what Moses said. This is the law. Jesus' response was that his judgment is true. Even if it was his own record. It's true. Why? He judges not the way the leadership judges according to the Torah. That is to say, only the judgment or the justice section. Because see, that's what the law has, that judgment, right? But the Torah is there to do something. Yes.
In law, it's extremely difficult to judge motive. And that is something that is completely within the jurisdiction of God, is the idea of your motive.
And the motive has to be something that is believable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It has to be believable.
Well, because only God can truly search the heart completely.
Now, in this woman's mind and heart, do you think she's scared?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was scared.
She was about to die.
Okay, where was her heart? Full of bitterness, angry? Mm-hmm. No, she was scared to death. She's going to get killed. That's what she was terrified on. On the eighth day, they were going to stone her. The day of new beginnings.
You're picking on me?
Huh? No. You just took it out of my mouth before I got it there. Yes.
The letter of the law killeth.
Sorry, what?
The letter of the law killeth.
The letter of the law killeth. Apostle Paul said that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what they judge by.
Right. Because without mercy, we're toast.
Sorry, what?
Without mercy, we're toast.
Toast.
No, we're going
home then. Okay. No, I'm going to make one last statement. We'll call it quits. Take a break. But that the Father agrees with the judgment which Jesus had put against the woman. Oh, wow. He agreed. What did Jesus agree to that day?
Life.
What did Jesus agree on that day? Yes.
Life.
He agreed to have his own life be taken. 6 months later.
Life for life.
Life for life. Life for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Limb for limb. He agreed. And the Father said, I agree with the judgment. Remember it says, we don't see it here, but it says there in the book of John, and Jesus made it very plain, the Father judges absolutely nobody. I am the judge of everybody. Wow. So here we have a judgment. Now his judgment keeps on being challenged, by the way. You'll have to go into the next week. Yes.
See, they didn't know he didn't say, lady, you can go and be free. I'm going to take your penalty. They didn't know that. All they know is this guy got her off scot-free, and the rule says she was supposed to be killed.
We'll get into what he calls freedom a little later on. It happens to be on the eighth day he made this statement. He didn't make it any other day.